a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Zheng Jufeng. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Strong recovery. China's industrial profits witnessed robust recovery of 10% on a yearly basis in the first 2 months of this year. AI power. Guofang for Asia emphasizes the transformative impact of AI on our lives, identifying it as an opportunity for growth and cooperation among Asian countries. And green cards. U.S. issues new climate regulations, which stipulates that majority of new cars and trucks sold in the country be electric or hybrid by 2032. China's major industrial firms experienced a remarkable recovery in the first 2 months of this year, with profits surging by 10.2% compared to the same period last year. This positive trend marks a significant reversal from the profit decline witnessed throughout 2023. Notably, foreign invested companies and private businesses in China outperformed state-owned enterprises and shareholding ones, exhibiting higher growth rates in profit. Together, these two types of companies accounted for over half of the total profits, reaching approximately 463 billion yuan, or about $64 billion. The National Bureau of Statistics attributed the profit growth to a rebound in demand from both domestic and overseas markets, signaling a strong recovery for China's industrial sector. We'd like to talk more about China's industrial sector. I want to bring our guest, Shifan Qi, an assistant professor of School of Economics at Peking University. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Xu. How do you interpret the significant increase in China's industrial profits during the months of February?
Okay, thank you very much for the invitation. So for the interpretation, let me first present two figures. The first one is a cross-sectional comparison. So as you mentioned, so the profit increased by like 10% compared with last year. But we should bear in mind that last year's profit actually decreased by 22.9% in the first 2 months. So we see that the current level is still only about 85% of the year 2022, and not to mention the profit level before the pandemic. So that's the first set of figures. And the second set of figures is by breaking down the industrial profit by sectors. So for the sectors, we see that the manufacturing sector increased by around 17.4%, while the those energy sectors like the electricity, heat production, etc., increased by around 63%. So from those two set of figures, first we see even though it's a recovery, it is still, the outlook is still kind of grim if we compare with previous years. So that's the first set of figures. But the second set of figures, we see that we actually do see some kind of potential, especially we see that the profit of the energy sector is increasing. So that means that a lot of factors are probably picking up production so that we can see probably more potential in the months to come.
You mentioned the potential of more growth. So what strategies can be implemented to continue to improve industrial profits considering the current market situation?
Well, for that, we need to first understand basically what drags basically the current current profit, given it's still relatively low compared with previous years. So probably there are two potential explanations. The first one is that the firms are facing fierce competition. And the second one is that the firms are operating not quite efficiently. So from that, we can break down the strategies by considering what the government can do and what the industrial firms can do. So for the government sector, we see that actually, especially because of the current market situation and also the shock from the AI industry, we see that there are challenges and potentials right now. So for the government, I think there are two things that are crucial. The first is to safeguard the rules of the law, and especially the patent laws. And the second of all, as you mentioned, so there's great potential in the small and medium enterprises as well as the foreign enterprises. So the government probably should facilitate the operation of especially those enterprises. So that's what, just from the viewpoint of the government, well, from the viewpoint of the manufacturers, I see in the time of the transitions, we see probably once the patent laws can be implemented very effectively, it is probably nice for the firms to try to differentiate their products or to find a niche in the market.
Thank you for your insight. That's Xu Fanqi, Assistant Professor of School of Economics at Peking University. Today is the second day of the Boao Forum for Asia, one of the region's high-profile conferences on development. The four-day event runs into Friday in South China's Hainan province. On top of the agenda are discussions on global security, the world economy, science, tech, innovation, and the impact of artificial intelligence. The ongoing 2024 Boao Forum for Asia, hosted in Hainan, recently released its annual report, highlighting the significant role of artificial intelligence in reshaping the Asian economy. The report emphasizes the profound ways in which AI is transforming our lives and the global landscape, presenting growth opportunities and fostering collaboration among Asian countries. The rapid expansion of AI applications can be observed across various domains, including technological innovation, product development, and industry implementation. Alongside other cutting-edge technologies, AI has become a strategic priority for major economies worldwide. In a special report released by the Boao Forum in Asia in January, it was highlighted that Asia holds a prominent position in scientific and technological innovation, with notable emphasis on the top five science and technology industry clusters in East Asia. Now let's go live to our colleague Lily at the Boao Forum for Asia to get deeper insights into discussions surrounding AI and technological progress. Lily, over to you.
Hi there, Junfeng. I believe we all have witnessed the rise of generative AI tools, those large language models with picture and video generators like ChatGPT and most recently Sora. They have really taken the world by storm. And many here at the Boao Forum for Asia 2024 believe that all industries will eventually be integrated with AI. So AI will be like the air, the water, the electricity that each industry depends on. And here at the Boao Forum, I see participants, you know, debating topics around AI. They talk about how innovation, technological and scientific innovation is changing the global economic models, how it is increasing rapid increase of investment in sectors that are related to those technology breakthroughs, and how it is changing our consumption and production patterns. And AI is precisely at the core of those topics. That's probably going to remain so for the next hundreds of years. That's not my words. No, these are actually words from one of the participants that I talked to here at the Boao Forum for Asia. He called for all countries to join hands to promote the optimal development, the control of AI for a shared future. As he said, AI is not something that belongs to one company or one country, but rather a product for the entire human race. Here's my interview with Mr. Max Yuan, who is chairman of Xiaoyi Corporation, for his takes on this, let's say, new revolution with enormous potential and challenges.
So you believe AI will change the fundamentals in scientific research? Well,
yes,
that's quite something big, actually.
Sure.
So you were speaking at a session earlier today about the singularity point that everyone's been talking about, the technological singularity. When is it coming?
Yeah, in my opinion, maybe lots of people will say, oh, this guy is crazy. Yeah, my opinion is very clear. Maybe in 3 years later. In 3 years, we will confront the singularity. Yeah, how to define singularity? Of course, it's a question. But in my opinion, nowadays AI plus the robotics, they even have the power to destroy the humans, because before the robotics doesn't have the brain, but today the just like ChatGPT or LLM, you can interact with the robot very natural. And no matter you ask any question, the robot will answer your question. And the answer is, beyond the human. Yeah. So the brain and plus the body, it's crazy. So I think every day is a new day. So, yeah, in my opinion, the 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we are at the Boao Forum for Asia. So this is a platform that we stand in Asia, but facing the globe, rather. So what kind of advantages do you think Asian economies have in this field, in disruptive technologies such as AI? And how can Asian nations leverage this advantage and to deal with common challenges?
AI include the algorithm, data, and computing power. No country or no enterprise or no person can have this power independently. So the collaboration and the open is very important. For Asia, every country will have their own advantage about AI, maybe in some part. So I think the collaboration will help each country to cooperate with each other. And because AI is AI belongs to human, not one country or other country.
Right.
Yeah. So if we must to cooperate with each other, we can do the maybe just like an algorithm or data. So if we can do this, we can face the challenge about the AI. That's the problem of the human, not one country.
So what about China? Because in China, we have this great environment for tech innovation. We have this vibe where people care about tech innovation. The government putting into policies in places, capital flows in the sector. How do you feel about being in this industry as a Chinese businessman at this time?
No one company can be the world-class company, just depends on one country market. Yeah, so that's why we go to list in Nasdaq. Yeah, because we think the AI is just like air and water, no boundary. Yeah, so AI will empower everybody and every country and every scenario, except for United States and China. Other countries don't have this advanced technology, but they have the very strong demand for AI. How to help them? Why we need to set up this forum to discuss the cooperation? Because if you have the power, you have the responsibility to help others. Yeah.
That's my latest interview in Boao Forum for Asia. Asian economies are actively engaging in collaborative efforts to foster the development of AI and boost digital industries. For more insights on the topic, let's turn to our correspondent Sukila Arwalia in Jakarta. Tell us, how has China been collaborating with ASEAN countries, especially Indonesia, to promote the advancement of AI and digital industries?
Well, China is known as an AI superpower in Asia and has become somewhat of a global leader in the industry. We can already see AI being implemented there. So many ASEAN countries have been looking for inspiration and innovation from China in recent years. And we know now that AI is becoming a huge part of everyday life everywhere. It's changing the way people live and work. And a lot of that technology that we see in ASEAN countries, especially here in Indonesia, comes from China. And over the years, ASEAN-China relations have mainly focused on physical projects, especially those under the Belt and Road Initiative. But now we're seeing tech investments as well. The COVID-19 pandemic really pushed for this cooperation because we saw a huge digital transformation in many industries. And one of those industries is healthcare. We saw how many governments, they began using tracking systems to make sure that the virus did not spread. And the pandemic became somewhat of a launching pad for many of these digital companies. And now experts are saying that it's important for big Chinese companies to invest in local tech companies in ASEAN because that will help to lay a strong foundation for AI projects in the years to come. And we know that AI can also help to advance crucial sectors such as anti-terrorism, cybersecurity, and even begin to seek out and nurture young AI talent. I spoke to an AI company in Indonesia that said China played a big role in the establishment of their business.
Kata.ai is the pioneer of conversational AI in Indonesia. One of its founder, Irzan, was passionate about AI very early on, leading him to build an algorithm that can understand various human languages.
And we serve our customers two different kind of use cases, be it in customer service, marketing, sales, utilizing AI chatbots, mostly on messaging applications like WhatsApp. To date, we have 200 plus enterprise clients coming from different sectors, telecommunication providers, financial service, retail, consumer goods, and we help them to improve the customer engagement. Not only that, we also help them to improve their profitability. So companies who are using us, they manage to reduce their cost by 70%.
In August 2020, the Indonesian government unveiled the National Strategy on Artificial Intelligence, a 25-year blueprint designed to catapult the country into a new era. This strategy promises to harness AI technology to streamline bureaucracy, enhance public services, and improve economic growth.
President Joko Widodo say he envisions a future where AI is a part of Indonesia's daily life. The strategy is to create technological solutions for sectors like healthcare, education, and urban development.
Kata's involvement signifies a collaborative effort between the government and private sectors, aiming to position Indonesia alongside global leaders in AI like the United States and China.
China is definitely the most advanced AI ecosystem in Asia, and then maybe followed by South Korea, Japan, and also Singapore. So I think Indonesia are actually learning from multiple countries how the nations are utilizing AI as their part of strategy.
With that inspiration, companies like Kata are becoming key players, helping to craft the national AI vision.
In this case, the government will only be responsible for laying down ethical and legal foundations. But private companies will be the main driver of AI growth in Indonesia. This is important because AI can be dangerous without proper regulations, and the Indonesian government must have a strong base to supervise these new upcoming companies. Many studies show that if Indonesia optimizes the benefits of artificial intelligence, by 2030, it can achieve revenues of around $336 billion.
Firman says beyond the technology, Indonesia's national strategy is still about its people, not the machines. It's about creating a future where every Indonesian can benefit from AI, from farmers to students, and from patients to policymakers.
The ongoing World Forum for Asia 2024 annual conference is focusing on the development of new energy vehicles too. Chinese NEV exports, known as the new three major tech-intensive green exports, are gaining momentum in their global expansion efforts. Let's examine how Chinese NEVs are becoming prominent on the global stage.
4.91 million. This number has brought China ahead of Japan as the world's largest automobile exporter. A key driver behind this? New energy vehicles, or NEVs. China's NEV export market started taking off in 2019. Exponential growth was seen in the sector, marked by a compound annual growth rate of 52% in the subsequent 3 years. Last year, the country's NEV exports came in at over 1.2 million. This means of every four cars exported by China, one of them is an NEV. So where did all these NEV exports go? Here are the top 10 destinations of China's NEV exports in 2023. Western Europe and Southeast Asia were the primary export markets for Chinese-made NEVs. Chinese manufacturers now claim more than 8% of the European electric car market, compared with only 0.5% in 2019. Meanwhile, it's worth pointing out only 14,000 of the 1.4 million NEVs sold in the U.S. last year came from China. Domestic brands are also becoming leading players of China's NEV export market. In 2021, 60% of China NEV exports were dominated by foreign car makers. In 2023, that share was accounted for by Chinese brands, with annual sales of 3.02 million, posting a year-on-year increase of 61.9%, Chinese-owned BYD has also overtaken Tesla to become the world's best-selling EV maker. According to IEA's Global EV Outlook, global EV sales would reach over 70 million in 2030, making up 60% of all vehicle sales. This suggests vast growth potential remains in the global NEV market. With strong production capacity, leading technologies, and supporting policies, Chinese NEVs see broad prospects in its quest to go global.
The United States recently issued one of the most significant climate regulations in the nation's history, in a move that aims to ensure the majority of new cars and light trucks sold in the U.S. are all electric or hybrids by 2032. The new restrictions are considered a significant step in the fight against climate change, as cars and other forms of transportation make up the largest source of carbon emissions generated by the United States. Edison Tianzen reports from Los Angeles.
A record estimated 1.2 million electric vehicles were sold in the United States last year, but that's only about 7.5% of total car sales nationwide. And far from the 56% target set by the Biden administration earlier this week.
I'm pleased to announce the strongest vehicle pollution technology standard ever finalized in United States history. These technology standards for model years 2027 through 2032 will avoid more than 7 billion tons of carbon pollution. That's 4 times the total carbon pollution from the entire transportation in the year 2021.
That's also the equivalent of removing an entire year's worth of all the greenhouse gases generated by the United States, one of the top emitters in the world. The new mandate does not ban gas-powered cars and trucks, but it requires car makers to meet much tougher emissions limits across their entire product line.
This technology-neutral and performance-based standard gives the auto industry the flexibility to choose the combination of pollution control technologies best suited for their customers.
The EPA argues Americans will also have additional benefits reaching nearly $100 billion annually, including $13 billion in public health savings as a result of improved air quality.
The biggest source of pollution in California is transportation, by far. It's about 80% of our smog form pollutants and about 50% of our greenhouse gas emissions, climate damaging pollutants. And then an even bigger portion, 95% of diesel particulate matter, which is carcinogenic, so an air toxic, comes from transportation.
The transition will require enormous changes in technology, manufacturing, and infrastructure, which will also reflect on the wider issues of labor and trade. It's not until 2030 that automakers are asked to dramatically boost EV sales, which experts argue comes as concessions to labor unions in an election year.
Throughout his campaign, former President Donald Trump has politicized EVs, often repeating false claims about their performance and affordability, and even vowed to revive the oil and gas industry by rolling back clean energy investments. Many predict the fate of America's big push toward EVs and fight against climate change may depend on not just timely investments on new technology and labor protections, but also on the upcoming election results. It is Tian Shan, CGTN, Los Angeles.
Thailand's employment growth is picking up pace, driven by the expansion of its crucial tourism industry. The implementation of mutual visa exemptions with China, coupled with the return of international visitors, has allowed businesses in the hospitality and service industry to increase their workforce in order to meet the rising demand. This positive trend is projected to continue, as the Thai government aims to achieve a record number of 14 million foreign visitors this year, marking a complete recovery of 100% from the pre-COVID levels. Our correspondent Dusika Sao Kao brings us the report.
There's an obvious excitement these days as you step foot inside hotel lobbies across the country. It's a seamless dance of efficiency, buzzing with the chatter of guests from all corners of the globe, waves of travellers checking in and out, the contagious smiles of Thai hospitality that makes this industry world class. It's a multi-billion dollar industry where almost 20% of Thailand's labour force are working together to help revive. But these days, there are many new faces. Faces like Anne. She recently started a new job in hospitality, a sector that is hungry for new workers. Because as the tourism industry continues to recover, so does the demand for labour. I was unemployed for about 2 years, but when I recently re-entered the workforce, I felt that the economy was bustling with more tourism. Everyone is traveling and spending again. Thailand is an attractive place for foreigners. And they are coming back in droves. But it's the Chinese tourists that will determine the pace of Thailand's tourism recovery. Thailand started its push to lure more arrivals from China in September last year, announcing a temporary visa waiver for Chinese tourists. The short-term agreement soon became permanent. A mutual visa exemption policy was signed, and visa-free euphoria swept through the entire tourism industry, creating more jobs and more opportunities.
Service industry, we picked up about 10 of GDP. The hotel and restaurant sector employment rose by 8. This rise is due in part to the free visa policies.
The increase not only signals a noteworthy post-pandemic recovery, but also reflects a promising future for the industry.
This university has seen an uptick in the number of students enrolled in hospitality courses, reflecting the current demand of the job market. The visa-free agreements, the increased flights, the influx of tourists, and the obvious need for labour are all factors that have led these young students to view tourism as a strong career path.
Thailand is full of tourist attractions, and our government supports tourism. So I think that in the future, tourism will be with us forever. It's full of employment opportunities.
The general consensus is that Thailand is on the cusp of a new era of tourism prosperity. The expectation of a full recovery in foreign tourist arrivals from pre-COVID times. And with that, the sense of job security that millions like Anne now feel as they help shape the future of Thai tourism, one guest at a time. Lucita Sao Gao, CGTN, Bangkok, Thailand.
With our report, we wrap up this edition of Global Business. I'm Jimmy in Beijing. Continue with more news and views. Stay with us.